Next Step is made possible through a grant from Gatto and Laura Artinian of Sydney, Australia, in Mergen, and listeners like you. Donate at epostle.net.
Hi there, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. It is my pleasure to present to you a new episode of The Next Step with Father Vazgen. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're tuning in. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. The Next Step is the voice of Armodoxy, a weekly podcast that looks at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. Our seventh season is well underway, inspired by our spiritual pilgrimage to both sides of Mount Ararat. Father Vazgen's messages are timely, thought-provoking, and based on Christ's principles of love, faith, and hope. At epostle.net, we reach out to those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. We produce these shows free of charge and make them available for download at epostle.net, as well as via multiple podcatchers, including Apple iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, and our very own epostle app. You can also subscribe to receive email notifications every time a new episode is released. However you choose to tune in, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazgen, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 325. This is a podcast that connects the dots between the old and the new, between the ancient and the contemporary, between the physical and the spiritual, and even the emotional. Hey, this is a podcast that looks at who we are through the most ancient of all Christian traditions, namely Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today. If you want this Armodox look, take a step with us. Let's do it right now. Let's take the next step. So glad you are joining us today. I guess that's kind of silly, isn't it? If you weren't joining us, like, who'd be listening right now? Let me think about it. Anyway, you know what? I'm not going to think about it.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to talk about I'm trying to think, but nothing happens. Can you believe that? Yeah. Anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Got a great show for you today. We are approaching Labor Day in a couple days, and that is a holiday here in the United States. Signals the end of summer. Although we still have a few weeks to go before summer ends. But also it happens to be Labor Day for a very special person in my life, my niece. And you may remember her as Annie Bubbles. A few years ago, she did quite a few seasons with us on The Next Step. A very special little segment. Her bubbles, her personal reflections, as well as little stories she'd tell. And, you know, since she's expecting, it could be any time, by the way. Any time. Like during this broadcast. I mean, if it happens, I'll be sharing it with you first. I mean, can you imagine by the end of this show, might be a new little baby bubble, a baby bubble with us, and I'd love to share it with you. But anyway, we are waiting. We're on pins and needles waiting over here. But I thought in tribute of Labor Day, the holiday, as well as Ani's Labor Day, we'd play a little segment of hers that has to do with work, with labor. And that's coming up later on in the show. Listen, I was thinking about this blog that we do here. And that's what really this is. This podcast, it's kind of an awkward thing, right? Because you have this podcast, which isn't really like radio. I wish it was. And then I don't wish it was. Like radio, once they talk, it's over. Unless you're recording it somehow, it's kind of finished. They've said it. But with a podcast, you can repeat it, and you can listen to it at any time. But there was some technicality to it, right? It's not as easy as a radio, you know, punching a button or tuning in a dial. Yes, I know, old school, the dial, punching in a few buttons, whatever it may be, you get to the station immediately. With a podcast, it's a little bit more complicated. We've heard from enough of you to know that, you know, there are some challenges involved with listening to podcasts, but you got to admit, once you get into the podcast, wow, this is cool, right? Anyway, I was thinking about it. It's really more than a podcast. It is an audio blog. Yeah, I'm blogging every week, and I feel so fortunate that every week I have this opportunity to blog in a, well, with my voice, to be able to sit there in front of this microphone and share with you a lot of the ideas that are on my mind.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
And then all of a sudden, something like that happens, and you're trying to think, but nothing happens. And of course, you'd never want to admit it unless you are one of the Three Stooges, or in that genre, of course. Anyway, I'm kidding with that, but you know what?
Quiet.
Yeah, exactly, okay? Yes, those Three Stooges. Ken, you are having too much fun over there, okay? Anyway. It's not about trying to think and nothing happens. It's just that we are overloaded. We are overloaded with information being just bombarding us. And so, yeah, you do try to think and you try to process all of this. But, you know, I was reflecting the other day about this. One of my sons picked up a subscription to the local newspaper. And it was interesting because we hadn't been subscribing to a local newspaper in a long time. I mean, with all the information that comes to you via the net and your opportunities, really, it is kind of awkward to look at that newspaper. But it gave me a chance to, like, sit down, and there is something about the feel. I mean, I know a lot of people talk about this as far as books. Like, for me, I just love reading a book as opposed to reading it on a tablet. But when it comes to news, it's fast, it's processed, it comes to you in different forms. And really, computers have changed our life as far as how we receive news. You have opportunities not only to go to one source, but even some obscure sources, even sources that are on the other side of the world. Sometimes you can go to the actual sources. You find the authors and you find the people who are producing the news, and you share and you blog and you communicate. And so when I saw this newspaper, I was looking at it and I was reading some of the letters to the editor. It's interesting, some of the stuff that people write. You kind of wonder if they're fabricated or not. But it is a phenomena of time as well, right? You get the newspaper and it's got news from the day before. It's not current. It's not fresh. If you've been following news that's coming to you, sometimes via the sites that you visit on the internet, but even faster, whether it's on Facebook or you're following a Twitter feed, like the stuff that's coming out of Darfur, out of Armenia, immediately comes not only on my Twitter feed, but I have it forwarded to my phone. So I'm basically receiving information constantly. And you're on an information overload. I am, for certain. And you try to process all this, and what do you have? You've just got too much. And so you try to think, but nothing really happens because you don't know where to go. And there's a lack of focus that we have. You know, this week, tragically, a very close friend of mine lost her son in an accident. And it was very interesting because Friday night I was watching the news, and there it was. It was on the news, never connecting the dots, of course, because it was just fresh news. It had come on the television screen. It was a late night news broadcast, and you see this tragic, horrific accident, never thinking that you might know the occupant. And then a couple days later, you know, you're getting the news that, yes, you do know, And then it slaps you with the reality. Not only do you know, but you know the players involved. You know, on a close basis. And you've got information coming to you from the Middle East. You've got information coming to you from the Far East, and from right in your backyard, from the stories that are happening. And then how do you mix this all in with what's going on in your life? And so when I try to produce a show called Armenian Christianity Today, when I try to do the next step, it's really making that connection of trying to make the faith relevant, because the bottom line is, how do we perceive ourselves? How do we process all of that stuff? Okay, you can think and nothing may happen, but you don't want to be in that situation, right? You want to be able to have a healthy relationship with your world. And how do you take all that negativity, all that garbage that is being pushed at you? And I do say the garbage because, you know, they don't talk about the good stuff. There isn't good stuff. And it's the opposite of what you see on Facebook. I was talking to a friend the other day who was saying that, look at everybody's life on that Facebook. Everybody has such a great life. Yeah, well, no one's going to post that, you know, the garbage disposal didn't work. No, you're going to post that we had a beautiful breakfast this morning, right? You know, you don't post the pictures of the garbage disposal coming out. And the same thing. You don't give the news that 10 million people came home safely tonight in Los Angeles. Instead, you talk about the one person who didn't make it home. And we are inundated with this negative news, and it is hitting us really quickly. I'm trying to think, but nothing happens. Sometimes you run into these kind of situations, and it's important that at this point in our lives, we start to process this. Now, how do we do that? Okay, how do we talk about our faith? Well, I'm glad you asked. Yeah, I'm glad somebody's asking over here. Well, I want to talk a little bit about there is a positive news, and I think this is the strength of what we call the Holy Badarak, or the Divine Liturgy. You know, in all traditions, there are means by which we focus in. There is meditation, and it's a very important act to be able to be meditative. There's mindfulness, which is very popular these days, about the mindfulness, about being mindful of what's going on, your surroundings, who you are. But the Divine Liturgy for us, every Sunday, we repeat this one sacrament over and over every Sunday. And for people who don't understand, one of the easiest ways to bring understanding to it is to look at it in terms of a meditation, of a collective meditation, the corporate worship of a community. And when you get together, imagine this. When you get to the Divine Liturgy, you're getting the good news. In fact, this is one of my pet peeves with people who want to bring in the Requiem service, and they come to church because they've had a loss, and so they'll come and they'll say, do a Hokiankist, what that's called in Armenian church. It's actually a Requiem service. It has nothing to do with the Divine Liturgy and the good news that we can celebrate. The Divine Liturgy, the Badarak, gives us an opportunity to really focus in, to meditate on that incredible good news, which is that Christ is victorious over the evil in the world, over the wars, over the inhumanity that we see, by his life that he showed that love can conquer it all. Now, what the good news really is that it goes on to us. That you and I are ambassadors of Christ, and we come into this world and we have an opportunity to participate in that victory. That's what the Divine Liturgy is. So when you receive the Holy Eucharist, you are receiving that victory inside of you. You become that agent. And so every week you have this opportunity out of the 168 hours out of the whole week to have this 1 hour of meditative thought, to be able to come and participate in a corporate worship. Now, what you do is when you get there, you know, you throw yourself into the service and listen. And it's such a holistic experience. You listen with your ears. You participate with your mouth. You feel and you touch the presence of people around you, the kiss of peace. You embrace people. You taste with your tongue. And of course, there's the visual effect of seeing the smoke going up from the incense and the priest and the colors. So it's complete, total, holistic healing from the negativity. So when you go to the Divine Liturgy, it's your opportunity out of that 1 hour to listen what's going on. Okay, at the beginning, it's Chorud Chorin Anhas Anaskisban, mystery deep, inscrutable. It lets you know that, hey, there's something bigger than you, something that you may not understand. But here's the understanding process. You hear the message that comes to you from the gospel, from the sermon. You participate by giving the creed. need by saying, this is what I believe. And then you participate in the remembrances, and you put together your life inside of that bigger life, which is the church. And so all of a sudden what happens is, after an hour, you have this opportunity to participate in really some real good news. And so the thinking process, right? I'm trying to think, but nothing happens. Just the opposite now. You're thinking and something is happening, because you realize that you have to be that agent of peace, that agent of love. And sure enough, you know, you do that. You get out there and you help the people. For me, this week, as I said, having this loss, it's the call that you don't want to make. You don't want to call somebody and say, hey, you know, I'm sorry, what happened? You lost your child. What a horrible thing that you have to deal with. But you realize that, what would Christ do in that same moment? And I'm not talking about going there and talking about, you know, like everlasting life, don't worry about it. In fact, it was a really important conversation that I had with my friend, because she told me people had been calling and saying he's in a better place. You don't want to tell a mother, a father, that an 18-year-old is in a better place. No, she said, the better place would have been right next to me. And she's absolutely right. We can't just talk to people. You can't just say things. But sometimes you have to realize, and this is why I said holistic approach, that your arms are also the arms of Christ, to be able to hug somebody, to be able to, your ears are the ears of Christ, to be able to just listen, let them vent, let them tell you what's on their plate, how they're dealing with these things. And in those small little actions, you realize that you can become that instrument of peace, because Christ is working through you. That's the power of the Holy Divine Liturgy, of the Holy Badarak. It's the power to be able to think and making something happen. Now, this is just the beginning of today's next step. I just had to get that off my chest. A lot of negative stuff, which prevents us from really focusing in. But I do want to talk a little bit about Labor Day in a few minutes. I'll start off right now with a letter that I received from one of our listeners in Armenia. Her name is Gohar. Hi, Gohar. Nusumek. Yerevan ne khosuma. Welcome. I'm so glad to hear from you. Anyway, interesting email. Thank you very much. Very, very flattering. But she says that she listened to the sermon from a couple weeks ago about the Assumption of Saint Mary, and did not hear the names that I guess she had heard last year or the year before. I don't know, but it sounds like she knew what we were talking about. She says there was no list of names, and she remembered that we had talked about the different names of Saint Mary in a sermon and wanted me to reflect a little bit about that. So let me, I dug up a sermon, and it's in my notes to that sermon. It's a list. You know, what I do is on feast days that, or on celebration of saints' days, I remember the saint's name. And in the case of Saint Mary, there are derivatives of her name. It's not only Mary, it's Mariam, Marina. There's a few names that are derivatives of Saint Mary. But in the case of Saint Mary, she also has descriptor names. Okay, names that describe her, that are popular names within the Armenian people. And so I take the opportunity to wish those people who have those names, I congratulate them on their name day. And this is a beautiful tradition, because it ties you in with the saint. It makes the saint very relevant in your life. So let me go through those names real quickly. This is for you, Gohar, and everybody else who wants to listen in, okay? So here are some names that come to us from the hymns of the Armenian Church, all dedicated to Saint Mary. How about Antaram? Antaram means never fading, always fresh. Antaram. Didui means the Holy Mother, or the Holy Saint. Didui. Diramair, the Holy Mother. That's the one. Maireni. Shorig. Arpi. That's connected with the light, right? Keruhi. Keretzig. Beautiful. Beautiful names. I mean, it actually means beautiful. The name of Saint Mary. Beautiful. The beautiful one, okay? Hamestuhi. The humble one. Koveli, the one who is should be praised. Nazeli, Aravni. Wow, that's a cool one, huh? The bird, The Dove, Zarig, Flower, Azniv, Kind One, Gohar, there's your name, Gohar, the Jewel, Voski, the Gold One, Shushan, Prapion, Hamaspur, Serpuhi, the Holy One, Imastuhi, the Wise One, Markrit, the Jewel, or the Pearl, Baidzar, the Bright One, Anush, the Sweet One, Pergruhi, Yeranuhi, Yerchanig, Takuhi, the Queen, Iskui, the Real One, Lusaper, the Bearer of Light. I like that one, yeah, the Bearer of Light, Lusaper, Gusine, Berjuhi, Makruhi, Verkin, and Lusine. So you got a bunch of names over there. All of you, this is your season right now, the St. Mary season. Gwar, thank you for having me repeat those names. It's always important that we connect with the saints at a very real level, a level that makes us feel really good. We're going to listen to the song of the day. My good friend Gor Mkhitaryan sent me this morning. I wasn't going to play this. I was going to play something else. This is from a band called Love Eddy. 17-year-old recording. It's pretty cool. Listen to it.
Thank you.
Mkhitaryan sent me that this morning. It was recorded 17 years ago. Some beautiful playing in there, isn't there? Some beautiful riffs and music in there. Hope you enjoyed it. I'm going to put a link to Gore's music, so if you have any question about that, contact him. I want to talk a little bit about Labor Day. Here in the United States, we celebrate Labor Day as the close of summer. It's an opportunity for us to reflect on our labors, on our work. And my brother has a really nice saying that I love all the time. You know, whenever I say, hey, Hike, how's work? He'll tell me, well, why do you think they call it work? It's work. Yeah, that has a negative sound to it. It is work. But wouldn't it be great if you kind of didn't think of it in a negative way, but something that you have to do to make ends meet? Well, that is negative. Wouldn't it be great to be something that you had to do to survive? Well, in a sense, that's not really too positive. Really, what you want is you have to have a labor that you enjoy doing so that really it isn't no longer work, but a time of enjoyment. But what happens so often is we get caught up in all of this, and our labor becomes a means by which we survive. I mean, you think about all of the different things that we do because of our work. Our work dictates where we live, right? I mean, because of the amount of money that you get. It's the type of car that you drive. And the type of neighborhood that you live in dictates the people that are around you, who's your inner circle, the kind of friends that you have. So much of our life is connected to that work that we do, to the labor that we do. Unfortunately, what happens a lot of times is we get lost in that labor, in that work. And this is really important for us to focus in. We were talking earlier about the focus of the Divine Liturgy, what is really important. Well, it's in the same way about our work. You know, too often we get caught up and we say, okay, work gets us the money. It gets us the resources to do the things that we want to do. That's great. Okay, even this podcast coming to you, we have to work to make the money to have this computer, to have this program. We just upgraded the program. It cost us money. You need some means by which you can pay for that. Okay, I understand that. But what happens in life too often is that we lose sight of what it's all about. So all of a sudden we're making money, and then we realize that that money, well, we can do some other things with it. So it's not enough that we have a car that has four wheels on it, but we want a car that has a little bit of luxury in there. Okay, nothing wrong with that. I got the money, I could afford it, and I could do it, okay? And it's not enough that I have a house, but I want a little bit of something to get away, a little summer cottage or something. It's not enough that I have, the basic necessities. I want to have a little bit of luxury. And so all of a sudden what happens is we start not worshiping the life that we have, the beauty of the life that we have, and our goal is not to make that life work, but rather to embellish it and to have all kinds of good stuff. And then we get lost in this materialistic trap. And you know it happens, right? I mean, you do an inventory of the things that are necessary. We just talked about the meditation, right? What is the Divine Liturgy about? About the good news. But we get so filled up with all the negativity that's in our lives. Well, who brings that negativity if not us, because of the practices that we have? Now, I'm not talking about, you know, doing away with what you got. God bless you if you've got good things in life. I'm not talking about just getting out there and living out on the streets and just the bare essentials. But it's losing focus of what your labor is all about. And that's very, very easy to do, to lose that focus. So that all of a sudden you start looking not at the work that you're doing as a means to do the good things that you want, okay, to make the money that you, so that you can survive and enjoy that life. But now you are striving for that money itself. Okay? That money now has an importance to it. Rather than being a tool, it now has some value to it. A lot of times people will tell me that, you know, they have money and they have this account, they have that account. $1 million in the bank is worthless. You know it, I know it. It's just on paper, right? $1 million. But when you use that money, when you take that million out and you buy a house, okay, when you invest in your child's future, when you invest in education, or whatever you want to do with it, that's when that money has value. Otherwise, it's just on paper. It just you just look at it. But when it becomes a tool to serve the needs of whatever you have, those desires that you have, those dreams that you have, then it starts gaining value. And then when you lose sight of that value, when money becomes an object in itself, I have to make more money. Well, for what, you know? You ever thought about it? Ever thought about winning like a $20 million lottery? How about $100 million? You know, what would you do after a couple million? Okay, you can think about getting a house, maybe getting the outside, the beach house that you wanted, maybe making sure that your children have education. They've got a small little endowment set up for them. After a while, you can't really think of too many things that you would do. You know, life is just, it's a beautiful thing. You can't just be thinking about how much more money you're going to make. And this is why you've got these Warren Buffetts, you've got the Bill Gates, who are realizing that, hey, their money is really worthless until they can do something with it. And so they set up these foundations and they are able to support other people, support other programs. And I'm just using them as examples. Don't write to me and say, yeah, but do you know what they do and all that? I really don't know. All I know is that there are foundations in these people's names. And certainly there are beautiful foundations all around that help and support people. But what happens is during Labor Day, we have this opportunity for us to look at who we are, what our labor is about, what our work is about. Take a moment to think about what that labor is about. What are you striving for? What are you working for? And this is a really, it's a very spiritual question that you have to ask. It's about purpose in life, meaning in life. And look at that meaning. What are you doing with the wealth that you have, with the products of the wealth that you have? What are you doing with that, and how do you make that really, truly valuable in terms of life?
Well, the lush separation enfolds you, and the products of wealth push you along on the byway of their spiritless undying selves. And you press on God's way to your last dime as he hands you the bill. And you're spinning the slipstream, tired of some reasoning, paddle right out of the maze. And you paddle right out of the maze.
Several years ago, when we began The Next Step, we had a beautiful segment called Bubbles from Ani. And I dug up an old one. I'm going to play it for you. It has something to do with what we talked about today, about seeing that value and really what's important and what that wealth can do and what that wealth cannot do. And I'm playing this because it happens to be Labor Day, and it has a double meaning because it is Labor Day to look at our labors. And little Ani is now going to be Mommy Ani, and she's going through labor. And we want to wish her all the best. And for all you listeners, here's Ani Bubbles.
One day, a father of a very wealthy family took his son on a trip to the country with the firm purpose of showing his son how poor people live. They spent a couple of days and nights on a farm of what would be considered a very poor family. On their return from the trip, the father asked his son, "How was the trip?" "It was great, Dad." "Did you see how poor people live?" the father asked. "Oh yeah," said the son. "So tell me, what did you learn from the trip?" asked the father. The son answered, "I saw that we have one dog, and they had four. We have a pool that reaches to the middle of our garden, and they have a creek that has no end. We have imported lanterns in our garden, and they have the stars at night. Our patio reaches to the front yard, and they have the whole horizon. We have a small piece of land to live on, and they have fields that go beyond our sight. We have servants who serve us, but they serve others. We buy our food, but they grow theirs. We have walls around our property to protect us. They have friends to protect them. The boy's father was speechless. Then his son added, "Thanks, Dad, for showing me how poor we are." This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Did you like that? Well, there's more of that. That's in the archives, actually. If you go to epostle.net, there is every show that we have ever produced is right there in the archives. You can listen to some of the earlier shows. You just go through the show notes. You'll see Ani's name over there and the bubbles that she produced during those years. Just some great, great stuff. And like I said, we wish Ani all the best. In Armenian, we say Pari Azadum, which means good freedom, okay? And all the best. Here's Susie to tell you about how you can do your best for us at epostle.net. And by us, I mean all of us, you included.
Susie here again. Before continuing with this broadcast, I wish to take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners, for your prayers, kind expressions, and donations. You make this podcast possible. Your listenership and support has allowed us to grow and expand our ministry around the globe. The Next Step has given us the opportunity to touch many lives and create lasting friendships. For this, we are immensely grateful. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. We would love to be able to continue this ministry for as long as there is a need. To do so, we must be able to cover our expenses. Things like hosting, server space, software, and equipment are an essential component and ongoing need for getting this message out. So, we look forward to your continued support. Thank you, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie. I think that is pretty self-explanatory. You can get involved with your prayers and your donations. They go a long way. I'm going to call it an end to the show. We are having some technical difficulties over here, and we hope to resolve it by next week. If there were some pops and little whistles in the broadcast today, you'll have to forgive us. Something's going on, and we don't know. This morning, Ken was, we talked quite a bit. I'm not really sure. We may need a little bit of an uplift. We did upgrade our equipment, and maybe some things aren't working too well. We'll call it a day for today. I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. Please join us on Facebook throughout the week and at epostle.net. That's Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe. Hey, for the wonderful team who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, Valher, our webman, this is Father Bosco, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the Next Step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the Next Step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off Balan Top Minutes.